This podcast is brought to you by Meridian Manufacturing and Conveyall. Bring your seed storage and handling ideas to life with Meridian and Conveyall's custom-designed and engineered sites. Design, engineering, manufacturing, and delivery. Quality at every step of the way.
Be the change you want to see. So if you believe or if you have a vision of what that seed candidate could look like, then start to behave that way now. Don't wait until it all comes together in a nice package. Start making changes within CSGA that would help, let's say, narrow the gap between maybe our membership structure or our way of thinking and our way of doing things in our culture and the culture of those other organizations.
Hi, it's Germination editor Mark Zinkowitz. That's Glyn Chansey you just heard. He's the executive director of the Canadian Seed Growers Association, and he's talking there about the CSGA's membership and how the CSGA is working to redefine itself and redefine what it means to be a member of the CSGA. He said this redefinition of what it means to be a CSGA member has come about as a result of the Seed Synergy Project, of which the CSGA is a part. The Seed Synergy Project is an effort to create a next generation seed regulatory system for the country. This week in Ottawa at the Canadian Seed Trade Association's semi-annual meeting, a white paper will be unveiled, which outlines the Seed Synergy vision. And Glyn says that that vision is prompting the CSGA to really think about what it is as an organization and what it needs to be moving into the future.
Right now, our books show 3,500 members, because under our system, and it has to be an individual is the member. So if you've got a farm business, then you have to choose an individual in that farm business to be your member. Well, those farm businesses are families. Families, including usually a partners with children that are involved in the business often. And, you know, whether they have one membership or five memberships, they still only have one crop certificate for a field. It would make sense for us to start rethinking our membership model so that you could have a business membership, and associated with that business membership might be different family memberships. That could triple our size overnight. And it also could start to open up avenues of services to those members, professional development services. All these things that I think would be triggered within CSGA and which have been triggered, because we got feedback yesterday at the meeting that we need to explore this and take this whole issue forward, will not only benefit Seed Synergy discussion down the road, but I think finally the hidden face of CSGA will finally emerge. And that was my only comment to the group yesterday. I go to work every day, I look at the wall, and I see the presidents of the CSGA going back to 1904, or 1923, actually, to be exact. I see the presidents, and they're all very distinguished men. Not one female face on the wall. Not one female face on the wall of the 10 secretaries or the 9 secretaries of the CSGA. Yet, I've spent the last 3 years visiting my members on their premises, and I don't know very many where there wasn't a husband and wife partnership there somewhere. And in many cases, it was clearly the leadership wasn't necessarily with the husband. It could have been with the wife. But that's not necessarily the name that comes up on this crop certificate. So we think it's time, I think everybody thinks it's time, to ensure that the hidden, I guess, potential and the hidden reality of Canadian seed growers comes to light. And I think in doing that, it will it will make us a much more attractive partner as well. And I think in the process accelerate the whole Seed Synergy exercise.
The meeting he's referring to there took place in Winnipeg last week. It was the CSGA's interprovincial meeting, during which members discussed the Seed Synergy project. One of the proposals put forward by the Seed Synergy partners, which constitute our industry's 5 dedicated seed associations, is to merge all 5 groups into one. For discussion purposes, Glyn refers to this proposed single organization as Seeds Canada. And he says that in CSGA's view, there are three pillars that would be essential to its success.
Well, I think the first thing is, what is the value proposition? In other words, why do this? What are the value drivers? What would make this superior to the status quo? So I think that argument has been, or that rationale has been developed and articulated at a high level, from the inception of this exercise. But now we're focusing on the more detailed questions. So where are the specific cost savings? Where are the specific improved benefits? The other areas that are critical really are questions of, what's the scope of the organization? Is it going to be just simply the sum of the parts of the existing organizations, what they do? Is it going to go beyond that? And I think those are, that's a to-be-determined question. But there's certainly lots of ideas floating around as to what a Seed Canada organization could do that any of the existing organizations alone could not or would not consider. The other key question is, who are the members going to be? What are the criteria for membership? Again, are we looking at just those who are currently members of the existing five organizations, or are we looking at a larger subset that would open the doors of sort of the seed industry to those who maybe historically aren't part of these organizations? Again, there's ideas floating around, but nothing has been formalized in that regard. And of course, governance. So what does the governance model look like? I mean, you have a couple of the organizations that currently have what I call regulatory governance models, which are representative models. That's the nature of regulation. You have to ensure that those who are being regulated are properly represented. So that's why the Seed Growers, for example, has a board made up of representatives from across the whole country. Each province has several representatives, or each provincial seed growing organization has several representatives. Each essentially provincial government has a representative. Again, this is a regulatory model. The other model is more of a functional model, which I think probably the majority of people who don't work on the regulatory side of things are familiar with, where you just look at a set of competencies that you would want in a board, you look at a committee structure, and right now we're basically trying to find what I would call common ground that would allow those two models to perhaps, or a hybrid of those two models to evolve, or one or the other to prevail. That's really, part of the discussion.
This whole re-exploration of CSGA as an organization even extends to the kind of crops that CSGA might deal with in the future. Glenn says that there could be potential opportunity for CSGA to expand into the cannabis space. Recreational cannabis was legalized in Canada on October 17th, and he says there could be many possibilities in the future for CSGA providing certification services for the industry. Nothing is formalized yet. He said it's all just discussion at this point, but he says that as the cannabis industry evolves, CSGA's role might evolve right along with it. He notes that CSGA has been providing certification services for the hemp industry for a long time, so cannabis might be a natural fit.
The big question in our minds is there going to be, is the production of cannabis going to move outdoors in large quantities? Now, anybody who's from BC would say that their famous product, was always produced outdoors and that's a good place to produce it. Will that continue to be the case when they compete against, when they're competing against high-tech grow ops that are essentially are operating on a different biological model? They're basically producing clones. In the seed world, they resemble more seed potatoes than they do other seed crops. But the reality is they can produce both ways. The fact that the government hasn't, when they came out with, Health Canada came out with their new regulations, they explicitly left out of consideration for the time being the whole question of the production end of the spectrum as it relates to product quality and identity. So is there going to be a demand? Is there a demand now? Is there a potential demand for variety identified, variety validated systems for cannabis production that would be perhaps produced on large scale outdoor operations? And I think the jury's still out. But from what I understand, there are some, there's certainly one school of thought that believes that you could have fields of hemp and cannabis and marijuana that are being grown for different markets, and that they might be the lowest cost producers at the end of the day, because I think everybody realizes that, yeah, there's a huge demand that's that right now that's not satisfied. But when it is satisfied, and there's more money going into this than probably any other business right now, everybody wants to get in on it. Where's the equilibrium going to settle out? And then when that happens, the cost structure is going to drop, prices are going to drop. To what level, and which will be the production model that prevails? I think, we had a discussion about it yesterday. We would be remiss if we were not at least preparing for that possibility, and starting to develop standards, varietal identity, and determine whether our current varietal identification system would be appropriate in this area, whether you want to get in that area or not. But I think people could see a situation where if we went to more of a business-based seed organization, where you would invest in certain areas to develop standards and with the opportunity of a return, this could be an area that could actually reduce the cost of seed certification for the rest of the system. And there's probably a number of other areas that if we started to think that way and act that way, could as well.